Welcome to the ABM Conversations Podcast, the number one podcast for B2B marketers wanting to explore timeless account-based marketing strategies to drive revenue, customer engagement, retention, and everything that makes sense to both marketers and sales folks. No more fluff. No more vanity metrics. Live from India, made for the world. And now your hosts, Yog and Manish.
Hello. Today we are going to be discussing about how to market to an enterprise audience. And that's one question we are going to be delving deeper in today's episode of the ABM Conversations podcast. This is me, your host, Yagneshwaran Ganesh. So when you unpack a complex topic like this, you always need the right kind of person along with you who can help you do so. And we have one of the best in enterprise marketing who has joined us today on the show, Scott Vaughn from Integrate. Welcome to the show, Scott.
Thanks for having me. This exciting topic and how timely this is as we go through so much change together.
Absolutely. And in fact, one thing that I really love is that you're also somebody who believes that marketing needs to move focus from MQLs to revenue. And recently, I also published a book on revenue marketing with the same core message. So I already see, the kind of sync that we're going to have. But before we get into the core topic, why don't you take us through your journey from media to mainstream MarTech and, your journey a little bit for our audience?
Sure. I've had a background. I think it's important to audience to know you can go lots of places. I've done kind of the, as they say, a jungle gym career. I started in marketing communications and traditionally went to university for marketing. I did that for about 4 years, really getting the brand and product side of marketing down. And I chose to go into sales. And so I spent about 10 years as a salesperson, sales manager, and a global sales leader in that side of the business. But I really missed the strategy of marketing and all the things around go-to-market. And to me, it's such a game of chess. And so I moved back into marketing in both product and revenue growth roles. And this was at the dawn of marketing automation in 2008, 2009. And as I became a CMO, I really believed in the power of marketing to combine and drive brand and go to market and thought leadership with the ability to actually move towards revenue generation. And, that's a long journey and twists and turns in between, but that shaped my thinking. And I was a CMO at a established B2B media company. And so you're sitting on both sides of the table. And I really, when I saw the power of what marketing technology can do and also the hassles it creates, I joined Integrate and really wanted to get into MarTech. And so I've been doing that the last 5 or 7 years, but a practitioner probably the last 15 or so.
Right. Amazing. And, since we are going to be discussing about enterprise marketing today, one thing that I wanted to start up with is that, we often tend to hear that there are different marketing playbooks for when you go after an SMB audience versus when you look at an enterprise audience. So can you help us unpack that a little bit as to what is the difference in that approach?
Sure. Well, it's quite simply how the buyer-seller dynamic works. And that really what should drive a good part of your marketing effort. And obviously it depends on the market vertical or segment and your audience and your maturity as a company, maturity of market, is it leading edge, bleeding edge, innovation, et cetera. So there's many factors here. So I'm going to be a little bit high level, in the beginning, which is the enterprise really is understanding how decisions are made, how companies research different solutions, how they solve problems. Those things become very important. So when you're attacking the enterprise and that's your market, that's your world, you can do a lot of segmentation, which is fabulous, but you really have to think in terms of buying groups. Who are the roles, the players, the titles, the job functions that are going to be involved at what step in the process, typically? And then how do you build go-to-market strategies, plays, then programs and campaigns to be able to do that? And so that's very different than SMB, which typically has, you know, three or four or less decision makers, where you take more of a buyer's journey front and center versus an account journey that you may take in an enterprise. And I think time has proven that you really need to understand who you're targeting and how that works.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, when you typically look at marketing and sales, the way it happens in an organization, at least traditionally, the typical sales and marketing automation driven formula is that it starts with creating content, then you push the audience to kind of fill up a form or maybe get it via chatbot, and then nurture them to death, and then let the AEs take over from there. But in this entire journey, you know, what are these enterprise marketing teams really missing? Is it the data? Is it the process? Or what will really help companies move from a mere automation setup to orchestrating the entire journey in a beautiful way?
Yeah, well, you just nailed it on that comment. It's we've been pushing stuff at people and then we send them to sales. That's completely out of alignment with how enterprises and enterprise buyers and buyer groups make decisions and do research and do homework. Today, they spend their time using, you know, if it's software review sites, they can talk to peers. There's so many channels that they can use to be able to do homework and research. And that's really what we have to think about. Marketing has to be more involved in that process than ever, because we don't have people that they know the game already, the buyers. They fill out a form, they're going to get a call and 100 emails. Everybody on the marketing side has the same formula. And so that formula, while it was a great start and automation was a good foundational layer, we can't keep doing the send out content, fill out form, and then, you know, do a 7-step automated cadence, whether it's marketing or sales. We have to really focus more on the buyer and the account journey and where they're headed. And what that means is, in the enterprise world, we have to understand and try to define what are those accounts that are our best fit. Can we identify using things like intent data and signals when they're in market? Can we use intelligent based on the behavior and be able then to then deliver content and not push it at people, which is marketing automation is heavily reliant on nurturing through email, but in the channels that they use. And so this is a very different, or maybe a very evolved process from the foundation that many of us put in place when we used a marketing automation centric in the first chapter. It's a lot different, but I think aligning with the buyer's world and how they think is going to be important. And the challenge is that, rightly so, executives and sales leaders, you know, want qualified leads now. And we have to constantly balance that, because if you do that blast and that push of content at people and forms and all those things, that experience sucks, lack of a better term. And we actually end up pushing them away, which is the exact opposite of what we're tasked with doing in marketing, in locking arms with sales to really deliver not just an audience, not just an experience, but ultimately to help them make a better decision and win them over with relationships.
Right. And one of the key things that I've observed in this specific area is that, you know, people tend to treat people who download, the prospects who download an ebook versus somebody who signs up or shows interest for a product in the same way. And if you're going to treat them through the same cycle, then you're not only pissing off the customer, but you're also setting up the wrong kind of expectations with your own sales team, isn't it?
Yeah, boy, setting the wrong expectations. So well said. This is part of the automation hangover. So what happens, right, is we treat someone who maybe watched a webinar or downloaded an ebook like they came in and asked as a contact us for an inquiry to talk to somebody. And you just can't do that. You really have to understand when someone's taken an action, you have to look more holistically. What else have they done? Have they shown signs of intent at an account level? Have they engaged with multiple people at that account engaged on a topic? And then you can more personalize or customize that next step action, which can be based on marketing's activities. It can be based on, you know, sales development reps or inside sales taking that first step. Or if it's a strategic account and you've assigned it, then your strategic account director can reach out. That needs to be orchestrated and connected in a more meaningful way to deliver an experience that's in alignment with that buyer and with that account. And that in lies the challenge in enterprise marketing versus an individual buyer.
Right. So well said. I can't agree with you more. And on this note, I wanted to just take a quick sidestep, a break, and thank our sponsors, Zest.is, which, as many of you listeners know, that is a marketing content stream that sits on your Google Chrome browser as a new tab extension. It's a website where you can either discover or submit high-quality articles, podcasts, infographics, videos, and ebooks. It's a highly powered AI algorithm allows you to pick your personalized content feed that is very specific to your taste. And in fact, we the hosts of the ABM Conversations podcast, we use it ourselves, and we understand you as listeners do that as well. And if you want to use Zest to promote your high quality content to an elite community of marketers, then all you have to do is just go to zest.is/contentboost and get a $75 off on your first boost just by letting them know that you heard it from the ABM Conversations podcast. All right, back to the discussion, Scott. You know, here's something that I've always observed when it comes to account-based marketing. And I know that you have some really strong opinions when it comes to ABM. But too many people, you know, put a lot of emphasis on the accounts to go after, and they don't show the same amount of diligence in ensuring that they are saying the right things to the right people in these accounts. So if you were to kind of set up the ABM for an organization, what would be your three or four steps to ensure that you're reducing friction in the buyer-seller relationship?
Yeah, first of all, I think we've learned after 5 years that if you're doing account-based marketing, that's great. But what I would step back and look at the whole company strategy and your go-to-market strategy. Is account-based strategy right? How many accounts? What's your total available market? How do I segment that? There's so many more important steps than just thinking about account-based marketing and ABM. And I think this is where many of us have gone off the rails a bit and have learned from it. But you can't just do account-based marketing. You really have to have a company-wide account-based strategy, or at least in certain segments. That doesn't mean you have to necessarily put all the poker chips in. You can have an account-based strategy that complements also a buyer strategy or segmented markets. But the mistake is made when, okay, we're just going to market to these accounts. And what happens is you end up repeating the same strategies you did in the old way. Just now you're doing it in those activities and those campaigns at specific accounts. And that's really where a fundamental challenge happens.
Right. So is it because, you know, people confuse themselves between what account-based marketing is and what account-based selling is? I specifically ask this because, you know, originally back in the day, we used to call this as key account management. And it was like focusing on specific set of accounts and selling to them or farming that. And later, at a later period of time, when ABM came in, instead of, putting out the right kind of content in a targeted manner and letting people come to you, we actually are starting to, again, go back and send a lot of emails or do a lot of programmatic ads and try to sell to specific audience. Is that what we're doing wrong?
I think it's one of the pieces if you stop there. I think that those are still fundamental elements, you know, doing campaigns and connecting with the right person at the right time and connecting the dots between accounts. But I think more fundamentally what's happening is we're trying to apply a lot of the more broader marketing techniques to account-based marketing activities. And so having a holistic strategy of understanding the roles between sales and marketing and customer success, more and more companies are starting to bring in product to that discussion. And so now what you can do is you can go after and have more defined roles and plays, I'm using plays in air quotes, where you can apply different tactics and techniques where sales and marketing are working more collaboratively based on data and based on what's happening with that account and defining those roles more specifically. This goes back to your earlier point. That's the difference between automation and orchestration, and it's a nuance, but that orchestration between understanding what's happening across the channels that that buyer and the account is using, understanding how to orchestrate marketing's role and sales role and customer success role in the process. Those are all important parts of really maturing in your ability to deliver an account-based strategy. And I'm emphasizing, you don't have to have all that nailed down out of the gate, especially when you're just starting. You can start with target account lists and begin to experiment and adapt at going after a smaller set of accounts to see the levels of engagement and grow from there. But ultimately, if you're doing account-based marketing in a silo on your own, and it's not completely connected to sales and customer success, and it's not connected to the accounts that you're going after, you're going to spend a lot of money, time, and calories and have a very tough time. And we learned that the hard way, and we get to work with so many B2B marketing teams today. So we also get the benefit of seeing it, you know, from the front row seat.
Right, right. Totally makes sense. And in fact, recently I also came across one of your articles on MarTech Today, where you specifically, you called out that ABM isn't an antidote to, sales and marketing alignment. So can you dig deeper on that? Why is it, not a replacement, or what is missing there?
So a big part of that is it's a cure-all. So ABM becomes a cure-all to align sales and marketing. First of all, it's very, very difficult to align, using air quotes again on our podcast, but to align sales and marketing. Marketing and sales have unique roles. So I think it's better to integrate that process and see it more holistically through the lens of your buyers, through the lens of accounts. And that becomes really an important way to think about your mindset. People think, oh, this is the... People often touted in the early days, especially the account-based marketing providers, that it was going to align sales and marketing. That's no technology or no strategy like that is the holy grail for alignment. I think you have to blow up that thinking and think more about mapping a buyer and account journey and then defining using data, using your systems, connecting them, making sure that the team is not in silos, that they're integrated in a way that flow with the nature of a specific set of accounts. And that's why I emphasize the orchestration piece versus just automation. That's why we emphasize the connectivity piece of making sure that your data, your process, your teams, your campaigns or plays are connected and understood. You also said something very important about setting expectations. The one thing where alignment does work is making sure you're aligned on your goals and expectations and share, not just align, but share in the outcomes and the metrics that you set. And that's easy to say, very difficult to do culturally in most organizations. When things are going well, wow, look at this. But they easily, you can have a bad quarter or hit a bump in the road, in a market timing or what happens. And all of a sudden that alignment, just like your car, goes out pretty quickly.
We're all pointing fingers. Yeah.
Yes. That's just the nature of organizations and the way they work.
Right. In fact, I love the part where you specifically called out on the silos aspect because, I think it's also because of how our team is measured, right? So if somebody is going to be measured on MQLs, they're going to do things related to that. What KPIs are set to them, it's more of a system problem than a person's problem. But in this way, you know, when it comes to technology, one of the things that I've also seen is that not every company is able to have their engines always on in a way that, you know, they can capture this data all the time so that the process is set throughout. Is it because one department is not connected to the other, or is it just because of silos? Why is that the engine cannot be always on?
Well, you're asking the really great questions. One huge part of the element of this effort is if you're going to move to account-based or buyer journey and you want to mature to that level, you have to get a few things right. One is you should strive for always on. That doesn't mean you have to be out spending money and doing campaigns all the time. Rather, your systems and your process has to be gathering that data. You have to be listening and adapting and evolving your systems, your plays, your processes to be able to proactively, at the best case, but at least meet the customer, then delivering the right kind of content and taking that data in so you're gaining a picture of what's happening with the buyer's journey and with an account journey. And that's why the system and the foundational setup is so important. And that's why eliminating silos is so important, because that data becomes important to connect so you can let the data and the systems that you've invested in work for you. Today, we've really, in our first generation, it was about automation. It was about ability to do some really cool things. We can generate leads now. We can measure some stuff. We can connect our website and our CRM and marketing automation. Wonderful foundation. But if you think about how those systems were built and set up, that's not what we're talking about to map to an intelligent buyer and account journey. We're in a new way forward, connected data, eliminating the silos, making sure you have your teams connected. And I'm not just talking about sales and marketing. Within marketing, your roles have to be connected to be able to do all that. And one point I think to amplify for marketers out there that I've learned is that if you think about how marketing's set up, and there's a lot of high achiever, incredible marketers, but say I run social marketing, my goal is to be the best performance I can be in that channel, or an events marketer. I'm the best at events. I'm the best at digital. That's automatically setting up barriers and competition internally, unintentionally, to map to a buyer account journey. So we have to figure out how to get the roles right within marketing and be able to trust and use the data and get the systems connected. And therefore, we can then be always on and we can let the data tell us more and more what to do, where to go, and then we can apply automation. But we've automated first. And a lot of times that takes out the human experience. That takes, and they're not intelligent enough yet. It's automation means pushing and blasting and hammering campaigns. This is not an indictment. We're all evolving and learning, but rather looking forward on how do we take the next chapter to move towards your holy grail and what your book's about, which is really contributing to revenue on a consistent, scalable level.
Right, right. Totally. Otherwise, you know, we are kind of using technology to blow up problems than actually solve problems. Totally makes sense. And the part where you spoke about, making sure that we are giving the right roles or the right, kind of understanding or KPIs to the people in the team. Can we also touch upon a little bit about what could be those, shifts that we can actually make to empower sales and marketing to make sure that they're hitting the right goals or they're going the right direction? How can we move that?
Yeah, well, like anything, this is not a rocket science answer, but it's just a reality. You have to start in your planning cycle and throughout the year and throughout the process have regular touch points on a set of goals and metrics that adapt to the business, adapt to the markets as they change. So that integration, that's what I was talking about, is making sure the metrics and the roles are integrated in a way and that you can get some basic measurement in place to be able to do that. That's the first shift that has to happen. That's a cultural shift first and a mindset. Then it becomes a strategic and an organizational mindset. then it becomes ability to better and better measure that capability and have trust. So that's where the shift has to start. When it comes to marketing, our systems and our foundation that we built, as we talked about earlier, has been built on automation, and it hasn't been built on orchestration or buyer account journeys. And so that doesn't mean we have to go out and buy a bunch of new technology, but we do have to, I think, step back and do some reconfiguring. There's probably some consolidation of technology and systems and processes that we have been doing because we're organized a certain way. And this is how we do it in social. This is how I do it in SDRs. And this is how I do it with my, you know, frontline field sales team. So there has to be some of that work that goes on over time to get everybody integrated and connected around a new go-to-market, a new way forward. Hope that makes sense. There's a lot to, as you would use the word, unpack there.
Right, totally. In fact, this is one question that has always been going on in the world of MarTech, that how much do we consolidate? How much do we, go for more point products which integrate with each other? And that's a very interesting problem in itself, and that can take a whole different direction. But, I want to now also move into another aspect. I want to ask you one personal question from your personal observation, especially, ever since the COVID-19 situation broke up and we went through all its ebbs and flows and we are still going through it. So how has that changed your personal approach to enterprises? Because, enterprise marketing, in my understanding, is all about relationships and what you have built with individual teams. And now everybody's requirement is changing. So how is now enterprise marketing's approach changed given that the world is changing after this COVID outbreak?
Yeah, well, we have a story of, have and have not. So it's crazy because some markets are exploding. The notion that we've been talking about digital transformation for 15 years and everybody has a three-year plan. Now I need to do it in 2 months because my buyers have adapted. So that's the big radical change that a pandemic and all the global uncertainty that it's created has caused. So we need to move faster as a company, as an organization, to adapt to that reality in marketing. So that's number one. Number two is it is a great driver, a catalyst for change. If you've been thinking about it or wanting to do it, there is a good case to make an evolved go-to-market strategy and your approach to enterprise selling right now. And the good news is there are many buyers in the market who are going through this change. And now we can put those systems to work in a meaningful way to the enterprise. But we will, and this is where that system becomes so valuable with connected data and your approach and targeting the right accounts, you can segment. So it may be that one industry, say like travel and hospitality, may not be the market right now. Maybe they are because they have to transform and change and your product or solution can help that. On the other hand, they're probably not going to be doing a lot of new solution purchasing. Play that on the other hand, security in the cloud has exploded as people have gone remote. So this is what I mean by using this time of uncertainty as a catalyst for change internally to change the way you do things. So in a weird way, in tough times, it can actually turn into a positive to make the changes that you need to make.
Right, totally. Makes a lot of sense. Now that we are, hitting close to the 30-minute mark, everybody who goes through this, they also qualify to our rapid fire. So are you ready for that?
Sure, bring it on. Let's see what I can do.
All right. So with the rapid fire, we ask about 4 or 5 questions and, you can feel free to either answer shortly or you can, go in depth as well. It's totally up to you. So here's my question number one. Content syndication. Do you hate it or do you love it and why?
It's a very effective tool if used right, like anything. Many people try to use it for lead generation to your opening comment about fill out form, call like they're ready to buy. That's not what content syndication is all about. It should be part of your channel mix to build key contacts at your buying groups and using that intent signals and data more holistically across an account to be able to add and refresh and replenish your database with engaged permission contacts. If that's how it's used, it can be very effective. That's why most enterprises use it. But if you're using it as pure lead gen for qualified sales opportunities, you're going to fail.
Absolutely. All right. So here's question number two. Should you treat all demand gen channels equally? And if yes or no, why would that be?
Yeah. So we at Integrate, we embrace and love all channels, but that doesn't mean your buyer does. So you're going to embrace what your buyer or the accounts that you are targeting embrace. So that's the amount of love you should give to each channel. And that's easy to say. Knowing that is why you have the connected data and systems and getting that foundation in place. It would be wonderful if you could pick an easy button and say, LinkedIn is killing it. Let's move all our, you know, every executive or sales, put all our money in LinkedIn. Well, there's a point of diminishing returns for performance, but most importantly, the buyers that you're going after in the enterprise and the accounts use multiple channels, and that should reflect your strategy. Don't fall in love with a channel and don't feel like you have to use all channels. Go where your buyers and accounts are going.
Right. Love it. In fact, I even observed that you and Deb Wolf spoke about something called Oxbow. Can you also talk a little bit about what Oxbow is?
Yeah, well, I had to learn what an Oxbow was. Our head of ops and our CMO, Deb Wolf, Danny McKeever, our head of ops, they have a philosophy for our demand effort. Everybody's talking about ABM and, you know, spear phishing in an ocean. Well, an Oxbow is a bend in a river where actually all the fish gather. And so what you're trying to do is really find those spots and identify at an account and a buyer level where the Oxbow is, where those fish gather, and then be able to really dial in and deliver a more of a precision demand gen approach versus trying to go after every account versus trying to go after every channel and use every channel. Just a side note, that's what we talked about, competing with channels internally. Really have to keep a broader eye on that. So that's what an Oxbow is, and it really has to do with precision demand gen and being able to aim and use your resources, your budgets, your plays and campaigns much more intelligently and efficiently. There's a blog on the Integrate site, by the way. If you go to the Integrate blog, you can read it. And I actually did a webinar with our head of integrated marketing, Jennifer Good. It was a very, very in-depth piece about how to do precision demand gen and take the Oxbow mentality. It's on integrate.com.
Absolutely. We'll check it out, and we'll also add that to the show notes. So here's my question number three. You know, what is that one thing that you think that marketing, when it comes to marketing to enterprises, most marketers don't understand yet?
Boy, that's a really, really strong question.
Right.
I think that it's complicated. And, you know, we talk about B2B marketing being hard, and actually, have we been set up to fail? I'll go so far as to say that because of the complexity, because of the expectations that boards and CEOs or maybe even sales leaders have on marketing's ability to impact. I still think the one thing that we have to get right is demand is not about leads. The demand, and we're still being gold, many of us, around leads, around MQLs. Maybe they're a little bit further qualified. So the system's artificially set up to fail. I think the one thing we can focus on is how to create demand by differentiating your solution, your company, your experience, and focusing and adding that element, not replacing it, just adding that element, kind of putting the M back in marketing and making sure that marketing's doing a great job of all of that work. And then building that always on demand engine that you talked about that can capture data, that can begin to orchestrate and then automate some of those pieces.
Right. In fact, what I often find as the confusion between leads and demand gen is that when people are talking about demand gen, what they're actually doing is they are building a lot of contact database for the SDRs and for the AEs to go after, but they are not actually capturing interest for the product. And that's what the missing piece is, according to me. Otherwise, it's just a lead. It's just a contact that I can get from anywhere. But what I'm looking for is the actual interest to pursue the conversation forward.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth in that. And I think that's one of the strategic elements that we can add to the equation today using intent and signals. But we have to have our data house in order. You have to be able to act on that data and operationalize it. That becomes really, really important. Again, that goes with how your the culture and the goals and how the systems are set up. Is the data connected? I mean, that's what we do at Integrate with the Integrate Demand Cloud and helping enterprise customers do that. And that's an essential element to being able to move forward without question.
Right. So here's question number four. If you had to recommend one resource, it could be a book, it could be a podcast, it could be a community, anything, for people who are aspiring to get better at enterprise marketing, or what should they actually dip their toes into? What would be that resource?
I don't think there's a holy grail or one book or one resource. So I'm not going to go there in terms of this will solve everything for you. I think active doing, listening, participating, talking to peers, listening to podcasts like this to formulate your own point of view and kind of put together your own playbook is essential. I will say there's in the spirit of what I said about the one thing we can all get better at is marketing, is the big M, which is communications and being relevant and breaking through the noise. My favorite book is Anne Hanley, Everybody Writes. It is a simple reference Bible. It's so easy to read, and it's a reminder of communications that will engage and align and inspire your audience. And I think at an enterprise where you have multiple decision makers and influencers, you really do need to do some broader efforts in communications and put out meaningful content and education in that world. And so to me, that's a book, but there is, in my opinion, no one handbook, one holy grail.
Right. Totally agree. I mean, it cannot be just one source, but yeah, talking of favorite books, for me, I love the 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing. That's one of my all-time favorite books. All right. So here's the fifth and last rapid fire question. What is that one personal hack that you would say is really important to build strong channel partnerships?
The hack is to, this is what I always do. Again, this is more of an established company thing, but I go to our customers and say, who do they trust? Who do they work with and their partners, and get your top list of those companies. That hack is helped me almost everything I do. I go to somebody I trust and get a reality check, either of thinking I formulated or if I'm still raw or new. I do a sanity check on where things are and get their views. And I think going to your customer base to see who they're working with, who they value, it certainly doesn't hurt to look at the main events in your industry to see who the players are as well. But that's what I do. That's how I shortcut. And my group runs alliances. You get a pretty quick idea from your customers after being on a few calls and see what's in their systems, what's in their MarTech stack, who they're working with.
Right. Brilliant. All right. So we are coming towards the end of our conversation. In fact, we covered so much in the last 40 minutes or so. So, if there is a parting message that you want to share with our audience, what would that be?
Tenacity. Stay at it. We're probably at one of the most interesting times of opportunity, although I know it doesn't feel like it certain days when we're sitting in front of video online meetings, but there's so much change happening underneath the water, so to speak, that I think the innovation now is the time to apply it. And, you know, that's what I'm doing. That's what we're doing. But have the tenacity and the grit to steer through this, because these are when the most interesting things happen. And right now, B2B marketing arguably is under the most pressure to deliver. Yet a lot of the solutions are kind of all the same, kind of boring. So inspiring us all to try to break through and think differently at this time would be, I think, a very apropos thing to do.
Love it. Brilliant. And I'm sure, you know, given the nuggets of wisdom that you've shared today, a lot of people who are listening to this might want to come and connect with you as well. So what is the best place to connect with you, and if people want to get in touch?
Yeah, LinkedIn is great. What a wonderful platform and medium to meet like-minded people, to compare and share notes and discuss what's going on. As I shared in the hack, I try to find like people who have like challenges and have conversations and follow their thinking, steal some of their ideas or make them my own or source them. But I think you can move much faster in that direction.
Absolutely. In fact, you reminded me of a book called Steal Like an Artist. Always get inspired from wherever possible. So brilliant. I love this. And thank you so much, Scott. You know, it was a wonderful conversation. I'm sure I'm going to go back and listen to this at least 3-4 times. And I have a lot to take away from this. And I'm sure it's the same with our listeners as well. So thank you so much once again for joining us. And you have a great day.
Thanks so much. I appreciate you being on and all you're doing for the marketing community with bringing people together and sharing your thoughts and knowledge.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the ABM Conversations podcast. Make sure you subscribe and share your comments with us. We're constantly looking for your feedback, thoughts, and suggestions to make the show more relevant to you.